Thank you, Vernon, for leading the songs. I appreciate that. And the musicians. Isn't it great when everyone has a part in the service? It makes it a blessing. All right, well, just wanted to say that those that were listening on the radio, we weren't on the radio this Saturday. They had an auction, if you probably noticed, but we should be back on normal this week. I just want to note that, you know, if you want to listen to the messages, we do live stream on the website as well. So as we're having services, you can go to visitfbc.com, and right on the main page there, there's a flashing bar that says click here for sermons, and you can go to the website, depending if you're on a cell phone or whatever. It looks a little different, but it all sends you right to the sermon, and it'll say waiting or whatever. You'll have to wait till the service starts. And remember, streaming comes about a minute or two after the time it makes the lag. You know, electronics are fast, but not, you know, it does take time. There's a lag there, as well as sometimes a pastor doesn't get started exactly on time. So don't click off. We'll be on it just shortly, and so you can watch it there. Susan's been doing a great job with our website. I thank you for updating for us. And so the messages are also there. You can listen anytime during the week. You just won't have the singing and the main service. You'll just have the message, but you can still get that. They are categorized on our website. You can do a search on there by Bible passage. If you're going through a Bible passage, say, hey, I wonder if there's a message on that. You can click in the Bible passage and see if there's one. It also is done by topic and different things like that. So if you're having a struggle in life and say, I'm having this problem, you can type that in and see if there's any messages that'll help you there. So it's meant to be a blessing. And same thing with the radio ministry. That's all to be a blessing to the community. And so I hope you take use of those resources. If you're close enough, I hope you come to church. I'd love to see you here, and we need you. We need you to be here and be a part of our ministry. All right. So today's message is pray without ceasing. Now, last Sunday night, I talked about prayer status quo prayer won't do. In other words, sometimes we just have a weak prayer life and we need something accomplished, and that takes a special prayer power with God. But I believe that God wants us to have that all the time, and he's been laying on my heart more messages on prayer. So we'll probably have a few with that in mind. So last Sunday night, the messages when status quo won't do, talking about prayer, we realize that we don't pray enough. It talked in the Bible like David prayed three times a day. If you look up any of the men that were strong for the Lord in the Bible, or ladies, they were prayer warriors. He prayed three times a day. He said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. Matter of fact, he even said, I pray when I get on my bed. How many of you sometimes at night pray? Last night I was praying for you. I was praying that God would give you a great message today, and Sunday school would be a blessing in the Sunday school hour. Wasn't sleeping real well, so I just thought, I'd just pray for the church. So I ended up praying for you quite a while last night, and I trust that God will be a blessing to you today. Daniel, though, you guys remember him? Daniel in the lion's den, and we think of the different things he went through. Daniel was a prayer warrior. He prayed three times a day. That's what got him into the lion's den. What a good thing to be thrown into the lion's den for. Didn't do anything wrong. He did right. However, he spent days and probably weeks there, I have to refer, but asking God to be for his nation, asking God to forgive them and bring the blessing back. We could do that too for our nation, couldn't we? And we could be praying for us and asking God to forgive us of our sin. And then how many times did Jesus pray? And does anybody have a number? Well, the Bible doesn't even list how many times he prayed, but he prayed all night before selecting his disciples. Jesus was a man of prayer. Well, I thought Jesus was God. Did he need to pray? Well, he didn't. You would say, well, he didn't need to. Well, he'd definitely be an example for us that prayer changes things. So some common denominators we saw of the prayer warriors was there was a consistency. They stayed with God. They stayed with him all day long. It wasn't just a Sunday thing. They were compassionate. In other words, they prayed for others. They were courageous. They realized that, you know what, for us to face courageous matters in life, we needed to have fervent prayer. And fervent prayer becomes effectual prayer. And then the last thing is they were committed. They said, I want my prayers answered, so if there's anything in my life that would hinder prayer, that's got to go. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 22. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's a little background here, and I just give this to you because time is short. But we're in the last days. We're in the end times. I believe so anyway. And God wants us to live victoriously. God wants us to live victoriously. So if you turn here with me, God is saying that, you know what, I'll just start with this. There are seven commands that are given here in 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you'll follow me in verse 16, it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things and hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. How many were there? There's seven things there that God wants us to do. I'm not going to cover all seven. I was going to go over all seven, but then I'm going like, you'd always do this, Pastor. You go over all seven, you have so much you can't get done on time, and you probably miss the main point. So I'm going to just cover some of those later. Rejoice in the Lord. We've covered that before, right? Give thanks. We cover that on Thanksgiving multiple times. So we're just going to look at some of the words today, but they were rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. That's the one to look at today. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying, prove all things, and abstain from all appearance of evil. So let's just do a little backtrack. Verse 5, what's it say in verse 5? Well, it's talking to believers. All right, so this message is for believers today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to trust Him as your Savior so that God can bless you and you can have one to walk with you through the trials of life, because we all go through hard times. But here we are, verse 5. Does everyone see what it says? It says, ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. It says, you're children of light. What does God want us to do as children of light? How many of you like walking in the dark? How many of you'd like to go down to Chicago and walk in the dark? That wouldn't even be smart. But you know what? A lot of people like to walk their lives in the dark. Why? Because if they walk their lives in the dark, they feel they can get away with sin. No one can see what they're doing. But God wants us who are of the light to walk as if we're in the day. And I just have some things I was teaching in Sunday school. You know, many folks are blind to the error or to their sin in their lives. They just can't see it. They're in the dark. You ever heard someone say that? That person's in the dark. They're not in the know. I try to think of all the new modern terms. We're in the know. But you know, a lot of people, they're just oblivious to the mistakes they're making. Have you ever been there? You ever made mistakes and not known it until it cost you? You know, and when you see a friend of yours or someone in the dark, so to speak, you kind of feel bad for them. But sometimes you know that you really can't say anything because they're convinced they're right. And so this passage here is saying, look, you're the children of the light. You're children of the day. Verse 6 and 8 says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the armor of God. So God says, you know what? There's something that'll keep you blinded. If I can get your attention on this, there's something that'll keep you blinded, and that is walking for the things of this world. This world has all kinds of distractions. How many of you ever noticed that your day gets really busy by all kind of unexpecteds? That the world throws a lot of stuff on you? The devil wants to keep you so busy that you're blinded to the truth, that you don't stop and consider anything. One of the biggest things that he tries to do to people is keep them so busy that they won't take any time to see what the Bible has to say about going to heaven. They don't have time for church. They don't have time for God. They don't have time for their Bible. But one thing we learned this past week in the book of Romans, that it doesn't matter if you believe God's word or not, it's still true. The Bible says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One way or another, we'll all stand before God. If you're saved, there's a special judgment to give us awards. But if you're not saved, it's the great white throne judgment. Everyone will stand there, even the people that didn't believe in God. Even those who claim to be agnostics. They're in the dark. Because they don't want to know what God has said in His word for us to have a relationship with God. But the Bible here is saying, yet you folks, you're the children of light. So let's not walk as like children of the dark. Let's remember, hey, we're the children of God. And so here's where I really want to get you to think about it. It says, put on the armor of God. Now in Ephesians 6, it tells all the armor, but here it names a few pieces. It says there's a breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. So let's just look at it this way. If you're born again, what some people might say is saved. If you're born again, you have the helmet of salvation. What does a helmet do for you? It protects your head. It's supposed to be able to protect your thinking. Now, I wear a motorcycle helmet when I ride a motorcycle. When I was younger, a few times I tried to get away with it, but I realized that really wasn't a smart thing. Now, when I ride a motorcycle on my big bike and I get into the heavy traffic going through the big cities, at least they have something to bury. That's the way I look at it. I don't know if it's going to really protect me from all the traffic, you know, if something really bad happens on the freeway. But spiritually, God is saying here in the battle, they had a helmet. If somebody hits you upside the head with a sword or something else, and you got a helmet on, it's going to smart. It's going to send you for a loop. Has the devil ever smacked you upside the head and sent you for a loop? Sent you reeling? But what would happen if you didn't have a helmet on? You'd be done. And what is this? The devil's going to try to stop you, Christian. He's going to try to ruin your day. He's going to try to get your life off track. He's going to try to get you to think wrong. But God has given you the helmet of salvation. Hey, I'm a child of God. You know, God is the one that has saved me. He's in control of my life. He's the one that's there for me. I have the hope of salvation. I, as it says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? I believe also me. And in my Father's house are many mansions, right? You have a heavenly home. How many of you are counting on your salvation to get you to heaven? So he's saying there, believers, when the devil hits you upside the head, so to speak, in life, you have the helmet of salvation that allows you to continue to think right and say, wait a minute. I don't have to walk in darkness. I'm a child of the light. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to live like the world. I don't have to fall for sin. I don't have to do these things. I'm saved. Any of you get excited about that? Any of that keep you on track? And so you got the helmet of salvation. Verse 6 and 8 says, and let us, yeah, 6 and 8. I got to find back where I was here. Hang on. We have faith. It also says to put on the armor of faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. If I have faith in God, that means I know God's plan is best. He's got a plan for me, and I'm just going to count on that. I'm on my way to heaven, and while I'm here, God has a plan. Today may not be going the way I plan. How many of you days never goes, sometimes doesn't go as you plan? That's mine. I mean, usually my day starts getting messed up right about when I get up. But you know what? It never gets messed up in God's plan. And so I got to remember, I'll just trust God that this is part of his will. And then it says here that I'm supposed to also have the breastplate of faith and love. What is love? Well, this is the love of God in me. Because you know what? I was born selfish, and so were you. I really didn't care about other people. It was all about me. Matter of fact, one of the first words I think that I learned probably was me, or mine, or gimme. Some people never get over that. But I got saved. And God told me what love was. He showed me what love is, and I accepted his love. And now he wants that to flow through me. And you know what? If God's love flows through me, now I can be a blessing to those that are around me. And I can have a relationship with my fellow man. So how many of you can realize here what God is saying? You're children of the light. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. God's in control. You should be rejoicing in that. And that's what it says, right? Rejoice in the Lord. But then he goes on to say, and pray without ceasing. This is what I feel God led me to preach is on prayer again. And I really believe that prayer is going to be the key to success for Faith Baptist Church in 2024. How many of you would like to see our church grow in size and see more people saved? I want to see folks saved. I really do. I want to see people come to find out that God's way of living is way better than the world's way. You know what it's going to take? Prayer. It's going to take prayer for the messages to be powerful. It's going to take prayer for us to be bold. It's going to take prayer for us to pass out tracts and to witness and to talk to people. We got to pray and ask God to give us a burden and a vision for the ministry. And so prayer seems to be the key of a victorious, peaceful, joyful Christian life. So let's look at verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Do you realize that this is one of the seven commands? Does God say, if you feel like it, pray without ceasing? If it's convenient, rejoice. No, God says, pray without ceasing. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, and I didn't realize that there were so many verses in the Bible about praying without ceasing. So I'm going to look at this with you today. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, continue in prayer. Now, the word translated to continue here is good translation, obviously, but if I was to look up for some other words that might define it a little bit for me, continue means to persevere, to constantly and continually persevere. So when God says he wants us to pray, he wants us to constantly be doing it. What's it mean to persevere? That means when the going gets tough, the tough keep going. When the things are tough, I continue to pray. When I don't feel like praying, I pray. How many of you ever sometimes just don't feel like praying? I'd raise my hand on that. You're going like, Pastor, don't pastors just always pray and just love to pray? Well, I love to pray because I love the outcome. I love to pray because I know it's what God wants me to do. But sometimes physically, I don't feel like praying. But he says here that I'm to continue in prayer. I need to persevere. In Ephesians chapter 6, 18, it says this. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I looked up the word always, and that means at every opportunity. How many times do you have an opportunity to pray through the day? Remember, David did it what? Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my prayer. David prayed three times a day. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. How many ever get discouraged? How many ever feel like giving up? That's what it means to faint. God says, no, how about always praying instead of fainting? Philippians 4, 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Can I reverse it? Don't worry about anything. Pray. I had one more here. Romans 12, verse 12. It says, continuing instant in prayer. That's interesting. Continuing, we already know that that means continually, right? We saw that before. But what is instant? Instant potatoes. Ugh. Instant pudding. Eh. Instant as in a microwave. Instant means in the moment. That's what instant means, in a moment. In the moment. So you should be praying continuously, being instant in prayer. So continually, in the moment, in an attitude of prayer. You're going like, Pastor, we're going to have a real problem if I'm operating my equipment and I close my eyes and pray. Do you have to close your eyes to pray? I really believe that God wants us to be in the attitude or in the mindset that we're with him, in a constant communion with him. Can you do that all day long, be thinking about your Lord and then talking with him in your mind to him and him with you? Does God do that? No, I got saved when I was 4 years old. All right? I didn't know all the major doctrines. I just knew that I needed to be saved to go to heaven. And do you really need to know much more than that? And that Jesus died for you? And if you'll receive him as your Savior, he'll cleanse you of your sin and take you to heaven. And I did that at 4 years old. And some of the evidence of that was when I would say that Jesus isn't pleased, that would break my heart. I wanted to please him, and I still do. But being saved at a young age did something for me. They said that I could pray and ask God for anything anytime I needed it. Now, what does that mean to a little kid? That means I can pray to God anytime for anything I need, and he's going to hear me. What does that mean for an adult? Well, really, that means that you can pray at any time for anything that you need, and he will hear you. But we kind of go like, well, that doesn't mean that. But it does. So all my life as I've been growing up, whenever I get into a bind, I would be, Lord, help me with that. You know, when I work on equipment, sometimes I'm going like, Lord, this is a tough one. I'm not coming up with an answer here. Could you help me figure out what's wrong with this? You ever ask God to help you fix something or whatever? The other day I was working with a young man and working on his Minneapolis Moline, and boy, he's done a great job on that thing, and working on the carburetor, and the gasket broke. I'm going like, oh boy, where do you get a carburetor gasket for a Minneapolis Moline at about 8 at night? That ain't happening, right? And I said, well, and then he had some material there. He says, why don't we make one? Sound like a good idea to me. So I watched as he craftily carved one out, and I'm going like, man, he's got it all cut out except for the three center holes where the air metering vents go. And of course that probably means nothing to you, but anyway, there's not much gasket left and you have to drill these holes. Now, I don't know that he knew it or not, but I prayed before I drilled those holes that wouldn't mess up this whole gasket he'd spend an hour and a half cutting out. And when I drilled through him, I don't know if he heard me or not, I said, thank you, Lord, because we got through. Does God care about little things like that? He sure does. You see, that's continuing instant prayer. A little problem on something I'm working on, if this is what God has me working on, I have no problem with him helping me with it, and he does. If I lose something, Lord, can you help me find it? Did the Lord ever help you find something? I lost that little mic booster I had, you know, before I got this phone, so I don't need it. That's a blessing. But for my hearing aids, I lost it in the garden twice. Can you imagine finding a little box like this big in your garden? You know, you're picking beans, bush beans. Are you going to find it? Both times, God helped me find it. After the rain, all right and still working. God do that? Yes, he does. God get your, can God get your trailer home with a bad tire? Does God care? Well, as in being young, praise the Lord, I got saved at a young age because I didn't mind asking him. Now, there were some things I asked him for I shouldn't. Like being selfish, Lord, let me have it, not my sister. You think he answered that prayer? No, not at all. There's a lot of things he didn't answer. But you know what? Many times we ask for things we shouldn't. But God still loves us. And he wants us to have that relationship with him. Have you ever asked your parents for something that you shouldn't have that wasn't good for you and they said no? You know, God always answers prayer. He can say yes, no, or wait a while. But he always answers prayer. And so I'm just trying to say, prayer changes things, and praying without ceasing isn't that constant attitude of being in prayer in the very moment. Now, the next point I want to put across is I believe God is trying to get us to continue be in fellowship with him. As in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. I looked up the word ceasing here, and ceasing is an adverb. Now, don't go thinking I'm great in English. I'm not even good at sentence structure. Diagramming sentences was kind of cool because you can make rocket ships. And then I just filled in the blanks. I got good grades on it, but I just kind of threw it in where it seemed to make good logical sense. But anyway, I just wanted to think about this adverb. What is an adverb? An adverb describes a verb. Now, that's put pretty elementarily. You know, I'm not a major in this. So what is the verb in this sentence? Pray. Pray is not a noun. A lot of people take praying as a noun. Oh yeah, pray. No, pray is a verb. If you don't put action into it, you're not praying. And so, what does the adverb do? It describes the prayer. It says, I'm supposed to pray how? Without ceasing. So without ceasing, as I looked it up in the for a more detailed understanding, it means without intermission. How many of you know what an intermission is? Back in the day, when I was younger, we had reel-to-reel videos. You ever seen a reel-to-reel video? You ever seen the projectors? Some of you guys don't even know what that is, some of you kids, but they had a reel with the pictures, little squares, and they would feed into the projector, the light would be behind it, and it would, and as it ran, and the little frames would come in front, and it would project it on the screen. And if you had a video in the church, everybody came, because you just don't ever see videos, you know, that was just so fun. Now everybody has them on their cell phones and everything else. But sometimes there was a break in the film that someone didn't repair or say anything about, and you got there and you got to hear to need some of you going as the back one's reeling up nothing and the front one's running onto the floor and they're quickly trying to get back, turn it off and refeed it. Or it runs to the end and you have to put on another reel so you can get the rest of the show. So right in the middle it quits. And so they would have intermission. All right, this is where you would sing or they would do a they started doing, you want to know what intermission is today? It's that 10 minutes of commercial that comes in between every 3 minutes of your show. That's intermission. God says that I'm supposed to be praying without intermission. I think that a lot of our lives are just like the modern TV. God really wants them to be more like the old reel-to-reel when you only had one intermission, you only changed once. In other words, your intermissions where you're not praying with God are pretty limited. But I think a lot of our lives are becoming like modern-day TV where 6 to 10 minutes of commercials of our own living how we want to, and then 2 or 3 minutes with God. Wouldn't that be terrible if that was the case in our life? And so God is trying to remind us that our prayer life needs to increase. So, how do I pray without intermission, or without intermission or without ceasing? Interesting, I was reading through a Call to Glory, and I found a guy named Pastor Delbert Rogers. I found the message, I read it first, and it was on praying without ceasing, and obviously Pastor Delbert Rogers, that's my father-in-law, and I'm going like, oh, that's interesting that he wrote this. So when I read through it, knowing who preached it, then instantly everything related. I mean, I could just hear him preaching, and I've heard him preach many times. But he gave this quick outline, so I thought, hey, I'll just share it with you. You don't have much room in a devotional, so here's the quick outline. This wasn't his message. I don't know what his message was. I just have his outline. But he said, give God your waking thoughts, your waiting thoughts, your worrying thoughts, and your waning thoughts. He does everything alliterated out. All W's. Did you get that? Give God your waking, waiting, worrying, and waning thoughts. Well, let's just take a look at that a little bit. Now, this obviously is going to be for me because he didn't have room to write on these and expound very much. But let's look at your waking thoughts. That's your thoughts during the day. I want to just ask you to be honest with yourself for a moment. What are your prevailing thoughts on most weekdays? Are they on the Lord? Are they in the spirit of prayer and in communion with Him? Or are they on something else? Just being honest. I mean, we're all in the same boat. All right, and if we aren't honest with ourselves, we can never be what God wants us to be. I would have to say that probably a lot of us through the week, God gets forgotten about quite a bit. And that's why God is saying, you know what, wouldn't it be better? No, that's not what he's saying. I'm saying, wouldn't it be better if our mind was on him 24/7? What God is saying is, I command you to be thinking on me. If you wake up at night and you can't sleep, what should you think about? How about talking with God? Some people say, well, they count sheep. I've had enough of them. I don't need to count them. That's just a nightmare. there's other things we think about, get up and watch TV. How about we just pray? How about we read God's word so he can speak to us? By the way, that's a double two-way street. And so be honest with yourself. What are your prevailing thoughts most weekdays? How many thoughts during your day are stressful thoughts? There's plenty to be stressed about in life, but what do I do about it? Well, remember that if I pray without intermission on weekdays too, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So if I'm having a stressful moment, why do you get stressed? If you've got this, how many of you are stressed? That's the term we use, right? A problem comes and someone comes along and says, I got this. Is there any stress? Matter of fact, it's kind of a challenge, isn't it? No problem. But when something comes in our life that we can't deal with, we go, ooh, this is stressful. I'm worried. And if we have someone along that says, I got this, no problem, your stress can be eliminated just like that. Now, I've had people come along and say, I've got this, and I knew they didn't. Then I was still stressed. But with God, if he says, I've got this, that takes away the stress, doesn't it? Okay, so I want to keep moving along. And I put this note down here. There's a song that says, why worry when you can pray? Christ Jesus will be your city. Don't be a doubting Thomas and worry on his promise. Why worry? Worry when you can pray. So don't worry when you can pray. If you are constantly in prayer with the Lord, if you're turning those problems over to him, it'll relieve your stress. You see, prayer is talking with God. I put down here, how about you vent your stress and your problems to him? How many like to vent? Every one of you. You know how I know that? Because if somebody's done you wrong and you're all frustrated, you like to tell someone else about it, don't you? You're venting. You're venting your frustration. You're venting that pent-up energy. You're just, oh, can you believe so-and-so did that to me? Now, sometimes we're using it to get people on our side. That's not a good thing. But who is the person that you can go to and tell your problems to? Can you actually go to God and tell him how you feel? You see, I want you to realize that when you have a personal relationship with God and you know that he wants you to talk with him all through your day, that if you are in a stressful situation, you can tell him. I say sometimes, Lord, I'm a little bit afraid on this one. I have been in parts of town and my vehicle is broke down in a very dangerous situation. And guess what I do? I pray. I keep my eyes open and I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, what do you want to do? What's the solution here? How many of you ever had a dangerous situation like maybe your brakes fade or fail? Or maybe, I remember coming back from Minneapolis as we were traveling in the car that we had. There were, all of a sudden, we came over the top of the hill and it had been raining and the temperature was changing. You know what that means. And I kept testing the road for ice and then we had good traction. So I just kept on moving and I had the cruise control set because I checked it and yeah, there's traction. All of a sudden, I felt the back end of the car wiggle. You guys know what that means. I quick hit the cruise control off. And I said, I'm going to test this out. And just as I came over the top of the hill, I had the real test. There was cars all over the highway. They were all hit, rammed into each other. They were totally across all the lanes into the ditches. It was all full. There was no place to go. And I hit my brakes and it went faster. You know how that, it probably didn't go faster, but it felt like it went faster. And I started to pump the brakes, you know, try to get a little bit of traction to keep control so I could steer. And I'm looking for some place to go. You know, can I go up here so I don't hit somebody? There was no place to go. And the whole time, my brain is automatically going, Lord, help me in this situation. Lord, protect my family. I'm looking in the mirror and I see a semi's behind me. And he's sliding. And I'm going like, if I hit those cars, you know what that semi's going to do to my family? Lord, I need your help. And about that time, car's getting closer, and I start to get a little bit of traction, and I brake, and I brake, and I keep pumping, and I keep slowing up a little bit, and I come up, and I come right behind that car, and I stop, and I look at the semi, and he's just barreling down on us. And I'm still praying, Lord, are you going to take care of us? And the semi stops. When the semi stopped, I go like, well, that's going to stop a lot of stuff before it gets to us, Lord. You kind of got us in a safe spot. I'm sure a lot of more cars were racking up behind, but I do say this. Can you pray when you're in a dangerous situation? Do you think about God all the time? Will he help? Will he be with you? He is there for us in that hour. The next one is he says, the waiting thoughts. That was our waking thoughts through the day, but our waiting thoughts has to do with our mood swings. That's what he was talking about. In Psalm 37:7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. And I could go on because of evildoers. Has anybody ever done you wrong? Anybody ever give you a hard time? This is what the context is. But I have to say this in the message, waiting's hard. Our tendency is to become impatient, and we say, well, I got to do something, right or wrong, I've got to do something. How many have ever heard that statement? Right or wrong, I've got to do something. I'll tell you what, I'd rather do nothing than do it wrong. Because if you do it wrong, and I don't know if you guys have figured it out yet, but if you do it wrong, you have to go back, take it all apart, start all over, and do it right. Unless you're the kind of person that just does it wrong and leave it for somebody else. I'm not too much of a fan of that. I'd rather to leave things done right. So sometimes it takes patience. Sometimes it takes patience to wait on God. But if you want it done right, sometimes you're going to have to wait. Has God ever made people wait? The Bible is full of people who God says, wait. Matter of fact, one time he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just stand still. Why? Because God's got this. We just have to go to where he has us to go and then just wait. But Lord, I got to do this. I want to have... Just wait. Our tendency is to become impatient. Our tendency is to take matters into our own hands. Our tendency is to get even. Our tendency might even be able to tell somebody off. How about just talking to God in prayer? Trust him to deal with it, and then patiently wait. If you get impatient, I thought we said we weren't going to get impatient. I know that. We intend on not getting impatient now, right? But if we do get impatient, what should we do? Very good. So pray, give it to God. And then if you get impatient, do what? Pray and give it to God. And then if you're getting impatient, what do? Pray and give it to God. Sounds redundant, doesn't it? Sounds like real life. Because remember, the devil never quits. He wants to keep you stressed. He wants you to die young. He wants you to be ineffective for Christ. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be impatient and make mistakes. What do we do when we're impatient? Pray and give it to God. All right. The third point I want to get along to here is this. You know, if you're just angry with someone, you're discouraged, here's the third one. Let's look at our worrying thoughts. This has to do with your temper. What if I just can't stand this person any longer? Any of you ever work with someone that gets on your nerves? Boy, you guys are lucky. You guys don't have anybody that gets on your nerves. You ever work with someone that just gets on your nerves? What can you do about it? Pray. And what if you just can't take it any longer? What do you do? Pray. And what? But this is beyond what we can handle. What do you do then? Pray. Boy, you guys got this figured out. If I have God with me all day long, and I'm focused, remember, my helmet of salvation, I'm not getting hit upside the head, I can still see straight, I can realize that my home is in heaven, that I'm saved, that God is my guide and my king, and I can put on faith and trust, right? And just converse with him through all my struggles and problems of my day. I hope that this means something to you. That's what he's saying. Stay with me. Here's the next one. What if I'm about to fall into temptation? pray. You guys got this now. What if I'm about to lose control? Pray. Does it really make a difference, folks? Yes, because God is with you. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. I have some couple more here, and I'll go on. What if I'm about to give up? Anybody remember what Luke 18:1 said? Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up, pray. And lastly, let's look at our waning thoughts. Waning has to do with the end, as the end of your day is wrapping up. What should the thoughts be at the end of the day? Well, that's when I like to sit down and watch TV and just relax. Okay, so you're unwinding. But as all the things you see on TV, do they always unwind you? Or do they wind you up? You know what? At the end of the day, I need to get with my Lord. Before I go to sleep, I want to talk to God. And here's what Pastor Roger said. He put this in there, and I thought it was good, so I'll share it with you. I've seen it before. I don't know who the author of it is, but it says, how many of you understand that God never sleeps? Now, let me ask you this. If you believe that God never sleeps, and I've lost my place here, since God doesn't sleep, there's no sense in both of us staying awake, right? There's no sense in us both staying awake, right? Sometimes things get me really worried. Something as bad's happening. My steel building didn't get finished. I went out there and looked, and guess what the winter did to it? The wind whipped it up and down, and it cracked. Started a crack on one of the main panels, which, since it's the kind of building that the panels give it its strength, it's now weak. And I really wanted to get that taken care of, but I didn't have time. There's other things going on that are more important. And so you know what I did? I prayed and said, God, it's your building. It is what it's going to be. I really trust that God's going to take care of this, and it's all going to be all right. We're going to be able to fix the situation, and things will be fine. Now, I could go ahead and fret and not even accomplish what I had to do instead of that and not even do that right. Because, right, if you're worried about something else, are you accomplishing what is keeping you from doing what you want to do anyway? So how about we just pray and leave it with God? And I'm convinced that it's going to be all right. And if you want an update on it, you can ask me about it later, but I'm sure it's going to be all right. Pastor here at the church that started this church wrote me a letter, and he called me on the phone one time, and just to see, as I was talking to him, and he was excited that I was pastoring, and he said, you know, one Wednesday night, and I think I might have told you, but I'm going to tell you it again, one Wednesday night, one of the men of the church came to the back door. Now, he expected that none of the farmers would be in church because they had cut the crops and put them into windrows. You know how we did around here and didn't have as many chemicals, and so you have to let the weeds die right, and then they could pick it up with the pickup header and run it through the combine. Well, since they had cut it, it had rained, and then it had rained. And you know what happens. The windrows were wet. They wouldn't dry out. They were mildewing and stuff. And so the farmers were out with their rakes rolling the windrows, trying to get them to dry out. So he knew that all the farmers were going to be busy that night, and here it is Wednesday night. And this guy comes in the church, and he goes to him, he says, and it's one of the farmers, he says, what are you doing here? And this guy says, well, it is Wednesday night, right? We are having church. He says, yeah. He said, but I mean, your crops. Don't you have crops cut? He said, yeah. He says, are they wet? Yeah. He says, well, aren't you out turning them so that they dry out like everybody else? He says, oh. It's church night. He says, yeah, but what about your crops? He said, those are God's crops. And you know what? That pastor said that when they went and did the harvest, his were the only ones that didn't have mildew damage. Now, that's strange. Can God protect your day? Can God protect your interests? Can God take care of those matters? Will God take care of those matters? If he allows you to have damage, he's going to see you through it. It's another trial to make you stronger. My God is with you if you're saved. He's your God also. And so I just want to bring up some of those thoughts. You know what? Let's just leave it with God. If you can't sleep, how about praying for others? If you can't sleep, enjoy the fellowship with God. Thank God for your day. And here, you should do every night. Let me do this. Thank God for your day, confess your sin, and leave tomorrow in his hands and go to sleep. So what do you do if you can't sleep because you're worried about something? This is a tough one. pray. You know, did I make it so redundant that it's ridiculous? I want it so much in your mind that as you walk with God tomorrow, he's going to be with you all day. You're going to have to work at this because the devil's going to try to distract you. But you're children of the light, not children of the darkness. You aren't focused on the problems in this world. You're focused on your heavenly Savior. You have a helmet. You're saved. And so in conclusion, boy, aren't we an anxious people. We worry about how we're going to pay our bills next month. Any of you ever have any notice that the bills are getting higher? No more comments on that. Have you noticed that some people worry and are anxious about their relationships? Like, are any of you parents concerned about how your kids are going to turn out? Any of you parents have adult kids that you're still concerned about? Like every parent that has an older kid. Are you anxious about maybe your marriage relationship? Is it possible that someone here today that's married might be having some family struggles, some marital struggles? And I'm not asking to raise your hand or anything, but we do have times where, you know, my sweetheart and I, we love each other and we never fight, but you can hear us reasoning sometimes. Why? Because I'm wrong and she's right. No, because we're both human. You get the idea. You know what? When we come to the end of the day, we've had our failures, and let's just get with God, and let's confess our sins, and let's just get things right with him. Leave tomorrow alone. Say, God, it's in your hands. Get some good night's rest so you can get up in the morning and have a great day with God. Let's learn to pray without ceasing. You know, we worry about work, we worry about our health, we worry about fitting in, we worry about being good enough, smart enough, thin enough, pretty enough. You name the list goes on. Perhaps our prayer life just needs to be stronger. One thing that my father-in-law said is, he said, the best solution to becoming a better prayer, we don't know if that's good English or not, but it sounds good to me. One solution to being a better prayer is just to start praying. I've read books on prayer. I've got every book you can probably find in there on, well, that I've been able to find on prayer. I've got a whole row just on prayer. I get excited every time I read one and get remotivated by hearing these great men of prayer tell how God has changed their life and how, you know, it's a sin not to pray. And I just want God to do greater things. And I read these books and I get excited. But you know what I found out in real life? I found out just what Pastor Rogers has done. You know, he's, what, 80? I shouldn't say his age, but he's been preaching a long time. Dirt still had shine when he started preaching. And he found out that to become a better prayer, you have to pray. And you know, I've learned out to become a better prayer, you have to pray. And I want you guys to find out that, guess what? To become a better prayer, you have to, anybody know it? Pray. So let's go ahead and close with this thought in our mind. By the way, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the prayer he will hear and he will not deny is a prayer for salvation. But if you're saved today, God wants you to pray how? It's a command. How did God command us? To pray without ceasing. And when we don't feel like praying, we pray. When we're in temptation and we feel like giving up, we pray. And when we are impatient, we pray. And when our day is going wrong, we pray. And when that doesn't work, we pray. All right, you got it. So let's close with hymn number 388. And it goes along with it. And let's stand as we sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. 388. We'll sing the first and the last.